I'm so honored that you came back. I'm just amazed that it was Ed and I were talking in the green room. You know, it's such a miracle that I even have anywhere to speak. And but so that I'll know how much overlap tonight, let me ask you, how many of you are you're here tonight for the first time? You haven't heard me speak at all. Raise your hand. A lot of you. Can we welcome these folks, please? All right, so that helps me to know how much I should overlap. All right, so if you could, let's put this up on the screen, and we should probably leave it and then turn the audio up. I have written 3 books on the subject of digital addiction, and this one is garnered quite a bit of attention for about 4 years, and it keeps me still going around the world. That cover, the reason why I'm starting with this one instead of the new one is because I want to lay the groundwork of where we're headed tonight. We're going to continue what we started this morning, but I want to just overlap a little bit to get the other folks up to speed pretty quickly on digital addiction. When you look at brain scans, fMRI, SPECT scans, you will actually, and other scanning technologies, if you look at a digital addict's brain, somebody screen addicted, and most people are, to be honest with you, as you know, and you look at someone who's addicted to either heroin or cocaine, most often cocaine, those brain scans are nearly identical. So you get addicted to anything. You technically can be addicted to anything, but it all happens in the same area of the brain. It's just that the ingestion points, the steps to addiction, and the symptoms are different, but the actual place in the brain is called the nucleus accumbens. It gets addicted in the same place, regardless of what you're addicted to. So that's why that image is the way it is. It's not just a metaphor. It comes from science. We'll talk about that. So I'm married. Beth and I, in February 16th, we'll celebrate 32 years of marriage. I'm married up, obviously. We come from the state of Virginia, and we live right in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains, more specifically the Blue Ridge section. And so we live down in that valley, and it's a great place to retreat to. But Hawaii is also a great place to come to. Awesome here. So I do a lot of research. And one of my stops is at the University of South Africa. I am in collaboration with the Bureau of Market Research and the Consumer Neuroscience Laboratory, and I design research projects. The last one that I did, I saw a research study. They were actually using Anderson Cooper as the test subject, and they had his brain, the little paddles on his scalp, and they were monitoring his brain. And what they didn't tell him was they were buzzing his phone. In other words, they had his phone number. They were sending him messages, and you could see his brain spiking, which means cortisol, which is a stress hormone, was flooding through his system. And so I went to the department head, the gentleman on the right, and I said, look, I'd like to build on this. I would actually like to measure the cortisol. And so we replicated that and tormented people by hooking them up to all this brain stuff so that they could not move. And I had their phones sitting over on a desk, and I had researchers buzzing their phone. They couldn't get to it, and their brains were spiking. And so was their cortisol. It was awesome. So... So I get to preach around the world because I'm also in ministry, and education is a big part of what I do. So looking forward to being with the students here over the next couple of days. We go from here to Thailand for 3 weeks. I'll be in quite a number of international schools, also reaching out to the Thai people. Beth and I are missionaries. And what we do are with the brain science and all this digital addiction is just a door opener, because the whole world is struggling with digital addiction. Impoverished countries where they don't have adequate clothes and food, they all have satellite dishes and nice phones. The world is crazy. But that opens the door for me to go in and present the science, but it's the solution as to what I really present. Science is good at exposing the problem, not so good always at helping. And so the actual solution to all these problems is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our precious Lord Jesus. So that's what we do. So I spend a lot of time, again, with students, and I go to places that these Muslim children are struggling with porn addiction, social media addiction, Netflix binging, and all that sort of stuff, just like anyone else in the world. And they don't have, in this particular community, they did not have anyone to speak to it, so they brought me in, and I was very honored to do that, because it gives me an opportunity to let my light shine. So radio is a big part. I'm very honored that Pastor Jake has put my radio show on your network here, your radio station's here, and it runs all over the place. This is secular, by the way, and then I also do Christian. So lastly, I'm very honored to be part of Calvary Curriculum as well, not only speaking for the Calvary Education Association, but Calvary Curriculum. And I'm going to be speaking at this conference, except it's via video, because we're going to be in Australia or somewhere, and not going to be able to be there. But I still want to participate because I so love this movement and very committed to it. So out at the table, we're almost sold out of books. And if you still want any, we will ship them back here, and this will be the pickup point. There's just a couple out there, but this is the book that I'm going to talk about top heavy tonight on the solutions, digital rehab. So I'll save that for just a minute. All right, let's test our audio. I told you we are from the mountains of Virginia, the Appalachian Mountains. We are Hill Williams, which are high-class hillbillies. I climbed off my mountain and got me some edumacation. So what I want to do is play for you an emergency call that came in hillbilly country.
911, what's your emergency? Yeah, my wife got attacked by a warthog real bad, and I need someone to come up with an ambulance and pick her up. Okay, sir, can you give me your address? Yeah, we're at 1825 Eucalyptus Drive. Okay, could you spell that for me, sir? I'm going to drag her on over to Oak Street, and you can pick her up there.
Okay. Come visit. It's very entertaining where I live. A journey toward eye balance. The first two sessions, we focused a lot on some solutions, but I exposed the problem. But tonight, I want to really speak at length out of my book, the new one, the thick one, on the solutions and how to negotiate this, because the intimacies that God, as I spoke about this morning, God designed for us to have toward Him and Him alone, has been hijacked and put on media, digital media, more specifically their culture. What alarms me, which I think alarms God, is that if you were to give a quiz, a Bible quiz, to any Christian school in our nation, a very basic one, and then a culture quiz, they would fail the Bible quiz and pass the culture quiz, hands down. And it's because of the being tethered outside of our homes. But I am not against technology. I do have a computer science degree. I'm using a tablet. I have a phone. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. So on the one hand, I don't want to say, look, we're going to have a barrel at the end of this and burn everything, as Ed suggested with a hammer. I don't want to do that. On the other hand, we don't want to give our hearts to anyone else but Jesus. Are you with me? So we want to avoid those extremes and be top-heavy on the Lord. So just in way of quick review, if we have any doctors here, I'm going to show you some brain animations that I designed that are oversimplified, because when I go to speak at the school tomorrow, of course, it's going to be the middle school and the high school, but I also speak in elementary schools, you know, in the primary schools with the really young ones, and I had to come up with a way to take these complex issues and subjects with, you know, talking about neurons and a synapse and all this sort of stuff and the dopamine flooding and reuptake and all that, and make it palatable and understandable for children. So this is what I came up with, and I ran this past some doctors and got the okay that it is oversimplified, but it's still accurate. So that little dot represents the pleasure center of the brain. Technically, it's called the nucleus accumbens. And so a few minutes ago, what I did, I on purpose played that 911 call from hillbilly country for a reason. I wanted to stimulate your brain using the theater of the mind or the visual part of your brain, which would be back here in your back of your brain, which controls your eyes, your temporal lobes, which controls your ears, and then stimulate a release of a neurotransmitter called dopamine. And it went in. Notice it's lighting up. And I knew that I had created a chemical change in your brain using that little video, because I heard you laughing and I never even tickled you physically. I used a screen and your eyes and your ears to trigger dopamine, and it made you laugh. That was a chemical reaction. It was a dopaminergic reaction. Am I making sense? And we do this with our screens all the time, but the more we do it, and when we get too much dopamine, the brain forms a barrier. It's a dopaminergic barrier. It's a chemical reaction. It's not a literal wall, but it's a chemical wall, and it's pushing out the extra dopamine, trying to get us not to balance, not to be limiting, but to stop. And we don't like to be cut off from those feel-good feelings. And so what we end up doing is chasing the high by doing more and more of the activity, and then we end up habituating to that, because we're chasing the high. The irony, or the catch-22 is the barrier can be penetrated to a point and you get your fix, but it just keeps growing. Does that make sense? And so it becomes harder and harder. And the more you stimulate it and the higher that wall gets, the more emotionally you shut down. And to make this practical, children are saying now, I'm bored, I'm bored. Holiday time comes along, and you say, we're going to go to Grandma and Granddad's to celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they say, can I take my tablet? And so they give Grandma and Granddad the obligatory hug, and it's only obligatory, and then they all disappear, and the family dynamic has completely changed in two generations. And we're in trouble. And of course, spiritually, we're in trouble. So eventually what happens is the wall gets so big that it pushes out all the dopamine. Notice it goes gray in the middle. And that is a medical condition called anhedonia, meaning an, meaning none. Hedon is where we get our English word hedonism from, the ongoing pursuit of pleasure. And so what ends up happening, the brain cannot feel pleasure anymore because it's got this barrier. And that condition, anhedonia, was originally first discovered in severe drug addicts, the hard drugs, and those who suffer schizophrenia and major depressive disorders. And then it started turning up in children whose parents use devices as babysitters. And I want to say to you right now, parents and grandparents, I didn't come here to condemn you. The whole world has fallen into this. No one that I've ever met on planet Earth, and I go to a lot of countries, has set out to do that on purpose to their children. There's a big difference in God's sight, according to the Word of God, between those who purposely harm someone and those who do things and they don't realize what they're doing. Does that make sense? And then once you come to the knowledge of it, now you're held accountable. But there's no condemnation here tonight. I have a computer science degree, and I ended up horribly burned out because of screens, so I judge no one. The only thing I can tell you is I'm normal now for the most part, and I just want to, you know, the scripture says to comfort those with the same comfort that you've been comforted with. And so I've been on both sides of the fence, and I can honestly tell you on the sober side of the fence. Now, I've never been addicted to the traditional drugs and the traditional alcohol, but I have been drunk on digital technology. And it's the same to the brain. So if you're a gamer, you're a drunk. Now, do you understand I'm not trying to offend you? I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. In other words, the same area of the brain that gets addicted to alcohol at the same level, but except with gaming, it's worse because it's identical to cocaine. So you're a coke addict. The scans are identical. Now that is the reality. I'm not exaggerating. I was speaking on a national radio network, and I understand they had about 500,000 people listening, and the presenter was looking at me like you're looking at me, like. And I was like, listen. The neuroscientists and the doctors are not going to be the ones calling in to complain. It's going to be the drug addicts. Oh, that's harsh. It's unloving. You're insensitive. You know, all that stuff that druggies say. And I'm not being insensitive. I'm telling you the truth. Why? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it's up to me, according to God, to do it in love. That's why I told you, I have been a drunk, a digital drunk. I was a digital drug addict. And I'm not now, but I could be tonight. You got to stay away from the bar once you get dry of alcohol. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's just things I can't do anymore because I was a drunk, a digital drunk. And that sounds harsh, but to the brain, it's the same. Are you with me? How would you like to have my ministry? Do you see what I mean now when I say it's a miracle that I have anywhere to speak? I speak to thousands and thousands of people, and I stand in awe of God because saying things like this, you would think somebody would have shot me by now, especially where I live. So let's look at some brain scans to review, but we have quite a number of new people. This is called SPECT technology, or single photon emission computed tomography. Some of you may have seen Dr. Daniel Amen on PBS. That's where I sourced these from. This is a baseline, which means it's a brain that's known to be normal. It's been scanned, and it's all nice and smooth. What I want you to look for is the hills and the mountains. So you compare then what you perceive or think is a damaged brain to that, measure the deviation. So this is what someone who smokes marijuana, that's what their brain looks like. But yet every marijuana smoker will tell you it doesn't affect them. But it does. There are no exceptions. This is what it does. And then this is what video gamers' brains look like, and also cocaine addicts. This is why we titled the book Digital Cocaine. See those holes? It's become anhedonic. It started to shut down. The neurons aren't firing. Their personality has changed. They will rob and steal from their own family to get their fix. A video gamer will intimidate their own parents and mooch off of them into their 40s, 30s, and 40s. The average age of a video gamer is 35. There are more 35-year-olds who game than there are teenagers. And it's affected marriages. Beth and I have to deal with this mess everywhere we go in the world. Wives who have been neglected, children have been neglected because the dad is a video game drunk. He's drunk on games all the time. And that's what it is. And I don't care how mad they get at me, that's what I say. You know why I do it, though? It's because I believe most of the time these gamers are very intelligent. And I know God has a plan and a call and a purpose for their lives, and they're missing it. And nobody has enough courage to get in their face and love them and say, that's enough of this madness. Let's get on with God and turn this world upside down with the gospel. You're wasting all this talent on rubbish, garbage. Anybody with me? It's time to grow up. The scripture says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And what I'm trying to tell you gamers who are 35-year-old and younger even, grow up. It's time to be a man, not a little sissy boy. I come from the mountains. This is just how we deal with stuff. There's the meth brain. There's the normal baseline brain. The cocaine obviously went up the nose in powder form. That went in through a needle, and look at how the brain responded. And that's the porn brain, and that drug went in through the eyes from a screen. So the ingestion point can be the eyes, it can be the vein, it can be through the lungs if you're smoking, it could be through the liver metabolized with alcohol, or it can be through the eyes, but it all goes in the same place, and the brain responds, whether it's from a screen or a needle, doesn't matter. Are you with me? And that's why I told the presenter, it's not going to be the doctors and the neuroscientists calling in here griping. They're going to go, well, duh. I'm not lying to you. And I know it's being filmed. I know there are probably doctors in here. And it's the other folks that get upset. So what I want to do is turn our attention to the solutions, though, tonight. Be top heavy on that. Dr. Daniel Amen provides treatment. What I didn't tell you this morning when I showed you this is that there was no exotic drugs that he gave them to help them wean or any of that sort of stuff. He simply made them quit. Not balance, not neutral, none of that stuff, not limit, not wean, quit. You cannot get over a drug addiction and keep doing the drug. Some of you have been on drugs. You know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not lying to you. You have to quit the drug. Amen? You have to detox. Well, because this drug, I showed you the porn brain that came in through a screen. It's the same thing. You can't wean. You've got to stop. The good news is the brain starts to heal just like a wound. If you just leave it alone, God has built in healing. Isn't that good? As I was preparing for tonight, I really felt tonight to encourage you with something right off the bat and in way of solution. I want to encourage you with something because these things that I'm saying are difficult. And God has raised up this movement, and there's a movie about Greg Laurie, and you probably know about the Jesus Revolution. You know what I suspect? God is cleaning house in Calvary Chapel all over the world, particularly in America, because he wants to use this movement to disciple a nation when the Holy Spirit comes on us again. And we've got stuff in the way. But does it appeal to you to watch the Holy Spirit move over this nation like he did when this movement was founded? Could you get excited about that? That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because probably the number one thing that's hindering is the phones in our pocket. But if God is asking you to do something difficult, I want to show you the reason why I hope you don't take me as being arrogant. Bold, yes, but not arrogant. The reason why I'm so confident, I want to show you something. When I agreed with the Lord when he called me to deal with this subject as a minister, I said yes before I thought about it. And then when the magnitude of what he was asking me to do, based on the stuff I've already said to you and the looks that you've given me like you want to shoot me, I thought, what in the world have I gotten myself into? But Jesus promised me in the Word of God, just like he promises you, that if he's asking you to do something difficult, like deal with digital addiction in your home, he said the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. Can we all say, and the Lord worked with them? And the Lord worked with them. He's not asking you to do this on your own. He's asking you to work with him. Because the power comes from him, not you. And he confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And the spiritual warfare given around what I do is palpable, as you could well imagine. Trying to communicate this to all these schools and all these different cultures. And the enemy has the world gripped with these digital technologies. I mean, bondages, just like alcohol, just like coke. And I know the Lord wants to set people free. And so I receive a lot of opposition spiritually. Sometimes it comes through people. Sometimes it's just through demonic activity, all that sort of stuff that ministers go through. I go through it as well. But I want to just tell you that the Lord promised us that he would work with us and confirm his word with signs following. And I just want to look at one. I had to drive from the University of South Africa in Pretoria through Johannesburg around a township called Soweto, where Nelson Mandela's revolution started. But it's a big township, very impoverished area. And it's a very dangerous area. And I had to then drive on to another university town called Potchefstroom. It's about a two-hour drive. And Beth was with me. And as we started to go around we got to Johannesburg, and we was getting ready to go around Soweto, the GPS went off and said, there's congestion ahead. Do you want to save 10 minutes, yes or no? And I hit the yes. What I didn't know was the congestion were riots that were spontaneously breaking out. And if you've ever been to Africa, you know how dangerous these things are. They burn the cars, they'll put tires on you and set them on fire, all this sort of stuff. And I'd been in Soweto before and this stuff was going on. This time, Beth was with me. And I said to Beth, I could see the police helicopter down in front of us buzzing around where all this chaos was going on. And I said to Beth, I said, sweetheart, we must pray in the spirit and with our understanding right now. And we begin to cry out to God. And I happened to see a riot police officer up ahead of us, and we were all backed up in traffic because of all this chaos that was going on down the road. And I found this riot police officer, and I ran up to him, and I said, sir, I'm so sorry to bother you, but if you could just help us around this riot, I'd be so grateful. And he said, what are you doing here? And I think he heard my accent, and I said, well, I'm an American, obviously, but I'm working with the university, and I'm a minister, missionary. And he just looked at me, and he goes, it is so good to have a brother here. I said, well, may I pray for you? And he goes, please. So Beth was taking pictures, and we just started praying, and the Holy Spirit came right in the middle of this chaos. And then he pulled me out, and he goes, well, may I pray for you? And I went, please. And he prayed for me, and he said, look, I'm going to get a police car, and we're going to look like a paddy wagon is what we call them. But he said, we're going to have to go against the traffic with all these rocks in the road and all this stuff, but we're going to try our best to get you and your wife out of here. But stay on my bumper. Don't leave my bumper. And so we got stuck in another riot, but I want to show you what was happening across the country. And now do you see why we were praying? The warfare that goes on with all. Now, that wasn't exactly where I was, but this is what was going on It was a news piece because it was going on like this all over the country, including where I was, down in front of us. And so you can see us driving against the traffic, and they put rocks in the road so the cars have to stop, and they do the smash and grabs and stabbings and rapes and all that sort of stuff. And so we were praying, and we got stuck in another riot, this time while we were under escort. And the police officer then got out, and he was trying to figure out where to take us. And when I looked down, we only had a quarter of a tank of gas. And we could not go to the petrol station, the gas station. They would have killed me. And I said to Beth, we don't have near enough gas to get where we're going. We can't go to the gas station. We need Jesus. That's all we've got now. Brothers and sisters, he's enough. We didn't know if we was going to heaven that day or not. But we started praying, and brothers and sisters, when I looked down, the gas went up on its own to almost a half a tank, and it stayed there until we got completely out of danger. If God is asking you, for those of you that have been on this journey with me all day, I love you and I'm so honored you came back. God will equip you with whatever it is that you need to accomplish what he's asking you to do. I'm not being arrogant. I know Jesus. I've been with him. I am confident that he will take care of you because he has taken care of me. And I love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And when you're on the mission field, and even in this country, we need him. I'm telling you, if you're addicted to anything, whether it be traditional drugs, digital drugs, God will put gas in your tank if you'll follow him and do what he says. I know that he will. This is not just theory to me. I get in dangerous situations. My little southern mama said, Brad, why do you go to these places? You could die. Now, that's a mom's heart. You know? Like, mama, Jesus didn't say go into all the world unless it's dangerous. But she loves me, you know, I think. She does. And I hate it because it wasn't long ago. She goes, she's typical American. She doesn't know that there are other countries out there, you know. She does, but she doesn't know about where all these places are. And she goes, honey, is it dangerous where you're going? And you can't lie to her. Yes. But the angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him. And I know God wants to bring revival. I believe that with all of my heart. And I know that you've been overwhelmed today, but you came back because God is stirring. You know that? He's stirring. And there's something pulling going. This Jesus intimacy thing with him is starting to be more appealing than all this mess I've been trying. You know, anything but the Lord ends up leaving us empty. You know that. Remember back when you first got saved? It's because all the stuff we tried left us empty. Well, now all this digital stuff has run its course and people have been left empty. It's the same old story. The drugs don't fill. And yet this is different because we need these things to work. So I know that the Lord wants to do great things for us here. Now, what I want to do, based on the things that I've given you so far, I want you to understand why I don't like the words limit, balance, neutral, and it's a tool, and it depends on how you use it. So the question is, are we being manipulated? I want to show you why technology is not neutral.
A computer programmer who now understands how the brain works knows how to write code that will get the brain to do certain things.
Yes, it is.
Ramsey Brown studied neuroscience before co-founding Dopamine Labs, a startup crammed into a garage. The company is named after the dopamine molecule in our brains that aids in the creation of desire and pleasure. Brown and his colleagues write computer code for apps used by fitness companies and financial firms. The programs are designed to provoke a neurological response.
You're trying to figure out how to get people coming back.
When should I make you feel a little extra awesome to get you to come back into the app longer?
The computer code he creates finds the best moments to give you one of those rewards, which have no actual value. but Brown says trigger your brain to make you want more. For example, on Instagram, he told us sometimes those likes come in a sudden rush.
They're holding some of them back for you to let you know later in a big burst. Like, hey, here's the 30 likes we didn't mention from a little while ago.
So all of a sudden you get a big burst of likes.
Yeah, but why that moment? There's some algorithm somewhere that predicted, hey, for this user right now, who's experimental subject 79B3 in experiment 231, we think we can see an improvement in his behavior if you give it to him in this burst instead of that burst.
When Brown says experiments, he's talking generally about the millions of computer calculations being used every moment by his company and others to constantly tweak your online experience and make you come back for more.
You're a part of a controlled set of experiments that are happening in real time across you and millions of other people.
We're guinea pigs.
You're guinea pigs. You're guinea pigs in the box, pushing the button and sometimes getting likes. And they're doing this to keep you in there.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's brain hacking that goes on. The neuroscience lab that I'm a part of, one of the ways that they make extra money to fund research is that companies hire the lab to figure out how to maximize their advertising, similar to what they're doing with apps. So they needed me one day. They hooked me up to this stuff. They were monitoring my eyes with motion tracking and galvanic skin response. And it was a bank, and they wanted to know how people were perceiving the advertising. So I had to watch these advertising, and they could tell from my response, my emotional response, and where my eyes were going, where to best place the logo and all this sort of stuff. They could tell where the attention was to get the message across. Am I making sense? They were using neuroscience in advertising. Well, there's a moral and ethical dilemma with this because you can also manipulate people with it and maximize dopamine production and get them hooked. And that's what video game companies do. They employ neuroscientists and psychologists to do that. You know, I'm not making this up. This is not an internet rumor. There's reams of videos like the one I just showed you that talk about this. And it's open. It's not illegal. Someone talked to me this morning about video game training, you know, for the brain. You ever seen these advertisements? You play these video games. Lumosity was one of them, designed by neuroscientists, and it makes you smarter in subjects outside of the game because they were designed by neuroscientists. Well, the company Lumosity got fined $30 million for false advertising because none of it was true. People only got better at the game. They never got smarter in anything outside of the game. The brain training in a digital world does not work. It works in an analog world when you read books. That's it. And then you do. But not with a computer. And so they got fined. They reduced it to $2 million because the company couldn't afford it. But that's exactly what ended up happening. So in the digital world, I have written twice. Now, this is not Christian, but for Globe Ethics. It's out of Geneva in Switzerland. And they came to me and said, look, we know that it's content independent. In other words, it doesn't matter what the content is. The moment your eyes lock onto a screen, you're going to get too much dopamine, regardless if it's education, whether it's Bible, whether it's World of Warcraft, or whether it's, you know, Fortnite or whatever it is. The potential for addiction is really high regardless of content. So ethically, because everything is in the digital world has been integrated into the education system, would you write an essay along with about, I think, 12 other researchers around the world and contribute to this book on the ethics in higher education regarding this whole thing of digital addiction? And so I wrote this, and I ended up at the World Conference on Online Learning in Toronto. And again, it's not Christian, but I just want to show you where we are and why I'm passionate about education. So I was there to talk about what I'm talking to you about tonight, the brain science behind this. But the other track that I was up against was the gamification of education, and I want to show you where we're headed. Pedagogical use of digital games to improve students' engagement and collaboration. When did you ever think we'd see the word pedagogical in the same sentence as digital games? And then it says to improve students' engagement. A game changer, embedding educational gamification for enhanced student learning, and how to gamify your online course. So there were a bunch of video game design companies, big ones that you've heard of there at this conference, along with the university people and people like me, trying to marry those two because of the attention span has already been doled out to video gamers. So they were trying to gamify all the higher education university level courses to compete for the attention span of all the people who game. Does that make sense? So that's what that was for. And then there's little old me going, well, the problem with that is that it doesn't work. And there were a couple of universities that changed course. There have been esports programs been challenged after I've been doing this. Because you're leading people down to a severe drug addiction. And unlike a lot of churches that get angry at me, they invited me back. They weren't mad at me. It's like, well, it's true. And then more recently, very recently, I just wrote this one. I had to do a deep dive for Globe Ethics on artificial intelligence being integrated into education, allowing children to bond with robots. An oxytocin bonding like you would their parent or pet. Because the whole goal is for one-to-one attention in the classroom. And so there's little robots that are AI-driven that they bond with to be the teacher. And it's where we're headed is I had to do a deep dive. They're using EEGs in classrooms on all the children to see if they're concentrating or not. And it's coming out of China, that part is. And so the stuff that's coming down I'm getting ready to write a book on the metaverse. A lot of this Web 3.0 and all this sort of stuff. And Christians buy into this stuff like you would not believe. And so my encouragement to us is this. Don't buy into it. You see what the Web 2.0 has done to us. But we just tend to take this like the world does. And I don't think we should be doing that. Biblical worldview rates. This comes from the Barna and Impact 360. These are Christian researchers. This is where we are right now. The Gen Zers, those born from 97 to 2012, only 4% have a biblical worldview now. And the Millennials, their parents, same. The Gen Xers, 7%. The Boomers, 10%. And a lot of this is social media driven. And in our country now, this came out in May of last year, only 37% of our American pastors have a biblical worldview now. Technology has a lot to do with the spreading of the message of the LGBTQ. That's why a lot of those pastors we've got this big split in the American church. How are they learning? Primarily through TikTok. The government, Donald Trump tried to ban it, but we all learned that if you mess with entertainment, they'll crucify you. Forget national security. Forget all the stuff that's being peddled. Don't mess with TikTok. They're trying it again. For national security reasons. But what concerns me is that TikTok is the number one source that children are now questioning their gender because they're going on and they're meeting people. It's a way that teachers in the public system are staying in touch with the children without their parents knowing it while the child is at home. And I recommend wholeheartedly that you ban TikTok. The other thing that I would say, do you realize I'm giving you solutions now? I'm into the solutions part. Get rid of it. Don't ever play video games, ever. Ever. I hear the Lord saying, tell my people, get these Asherah poles out of my temple. Get these Asherah poles out of my temple. Asherah is not my wife. If you study the Bible, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's exactly what's come in. Sexual immorality, that's what the Asherah and the Baals were all about. That's sexual perversion. And it's coming through TikTok and Instagram primarily. It's coming through all of them, but those are two of the key ones. It's very quiet. Do you still love me? Some other things that I'm very concerned about, I want to help you with this. There's a demonic bondage that comes when we marry certain things with Christianity that we shouldn't. So, on the mainland, we're being invaded by the South. Not my South, the one further south. And the border's wide open. And they're flooding in. When the Catholics first went in to evangelize in Central and South America, many of them were not too doctrinally conscious, and so they allowed the indigenous cultures to mix their indigenous religions with Catholicism. And so you end up with this hybrid called the death culture of Mexico. And that's exactly what you're seeing. You see elements of Catholicism there mixed in with the death culture. And so you have Our Lady of Holy Death. And how has this been glamorized now? Through cocoa. These things are coming in. It makes it look harmless and innocent, but it is not. These are adult clothes, by the way. These are not children's clothing lines. These are in the adult section of department stores. I went and took these pictures, and you see Star Wars and so on and so forth. I want to show you something from Lucas himself.
I put the Force into the movies in order to try to awaken a certain kind of spirituality in young people. More a belief in God than a belief in any particular religious system. I mean, the real question is to ask the question.
So the Force, what it is an avenue for him to promote Buddhism and Taoism. Problem with that is that it goes against the doctrine of the exclusivity of Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said to him, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Luke has said, and he's been very successful, I put the Force in to cause a spiritual awakening among young people, and it has worked. And that includes our young people within the body of Christ. You know I'm telling you the truth. Look at your video cabinets. And what you have is a demonic force that you've opened the door to. Sounds extreme, doesn't it? But you heard it from Lucas himself. I didn't make this up. It's not an internet rumor. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Jesus needs to be Lord of all. Our whole world needs to be wrapped up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We need to become students of his word again, where that's what our whole life centers around. And as it says in Deuteronomy 6, when we rise up, when we go to bed, and as we walk along the way, and the phylacteries, you know, they would have the scriptures put on the forehead and on the forearms to remind them this is what needs to be on our mind from the time we get up to the time we sleep and as we walk along. But now what we have done is substitute that with social media and video games. Am I right? That's what's happening. God is saying, I want you for myself. I am a jealous God. I want all of you. And so what I have watched technology do, I've been writing about this and traveling for a long time now. I have watched the words of Jesus be fulfilled when he talked about a wide road and a narrow road that leads through gates. And he said, this wide road goes through a gate, and it leads to everlasting destruction. And this narrow road goes through a gate, and it leads to everlasting life. And most people will get on the wide one. And I have watched technology do that in the body of Christ. Most people think I'm the crazy one, and they still choose that path. They don't want to separate the Asherahs. They want to mix like cocoa. They want to mix the culture with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm a jealous God. I want you for myself. By the way, that's a good thing. That's not hard preaching. It's a good thing to be wrapped up in Jesus and him alone. Are you with me? And his word. I didn't come here to condemn parents because they have opened the door to these things. We've all done it, myself included. We have. The message is simply this: there's grace and it abounds still. The Lord is just saying, come back. The plans that I have for you are not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. And gamers, I don't care how mad you are at me right now. I'm not afraid of you. Some of you perhaps in here have been able to intimidate your mother. Shame on you. She's female. You're supposed to take care of your mom. Not intimidate them when they speak into your life and try to get you to stop doing knuckleheaded stuff. Respect your mother and your father if you want your days to be long. Instead of arguing with them, put the video game thing down. I was in Florida twice at this one church, and every time I go, I give a call for repentance for video game playing because they have new kids that come in. It's a big church. And one year I said, all right, boys, look. They were a bunch of them repenting. I said, look, don't sell the stuff on eBay or you're going to be a drug pusher. Load all this stuff up and go shoot it. So they did. They got a pickup truck, loaded all their video game controllers, went out in the Everglades and shot it all up and filmed it. It was awesome. Destroy your drugs. It's what the Lord is calling us to do. It is so quiet. I hope you love me. This morning, I talked to you about toggling. So we know that students, when they sit down, they're listening to music, their brains start to switch, the grades immediately go down, the dopamine levels are too high just by listening to music while you study, and that includes classical and instrumental. They study an average of 2 minutes, a legitimate subject such as math, history, and English, before they grab their phone and they start toggling, and they stay gone anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, and they're studying like this. People work in the office like this with their report for the boss, the presentation for the meeting, etc. So it's not just the students, it's the parents that end up doing it as well. I'm not mad at you, but I want to talk to you about fixing it. We need to monotask. And so when you sit down to do math, English, history, or the report for the boss, the presentation, total silence. And this is what science shows causes productivity to go up 40%. No music, which means no phone, because that's the primary source of the music, and then no entertainment tabs. So during COVID, I was very busy, as you can imagine, doing webinars and so forth and making videos for places because the grades were really horrible. And what was happening was kids had their Google Classroom or the Zoom on one tab, and they would log in, but then they had multiple tabs open with everything that was entertainment, social media, porn, video games, and they were spending all their time on that and not the platform that was educational. I'm not against education online, but you got to pay attention to it if you're going to pass. Does that make sense? And so I had to add the no entertainment tabs. But when you sit down with these conditions, that's all you do. And when you need a brain break, you don't check something on the phone, otherwise the wall goes up. You do something analog, non-digital. And if I were you, this is some of the biggest help I can give you. If I were you, those three things, I would ban them forever. And then I would also ban that, all video games, forever, including Christian ones, education ones. They don't work. That's why I told you about the trip I made to Canada, about the pedagogical use of gamification. It doesn't work. Research shows that you learn more when you read from paper instead of a screen. The research is very clear. There's research coming out all the time about this. Research also shows that you learn more when you take notes on paper instead of typing them. So what I would like to do is illustrate for you one of the research projects that talked about this. They had a podium much like this, big auditorium that was full of people, and they said to this half of the audience, look, we're going to give a lecture. We want you to enjoy the lecture. All of you take notes on paper, however you want to. All of you take notes on your devices, your phones, your tablets, whatever. Just take notes. So they gave a lecture, and then they measured the note-taking to see who learned more. The people who took notes on paper crushed the people who took notes on devices. And when they looked into it, here's some of the reasons why. Those who took notes on paper tended to write bullet points, which means they were actually engaged with the presenter, and they were only using keywords to trigger the memory from what they were actually listening to and engaging with. This group tended to type word for word. The problem is they could not type as quickly as the presenter could speak. Nor could they multitask, because no human can. So while the presenter was speaking, he was already down in point number two and three. They were still typing point number one, but because they cannot multitask, they were not able to hear points two and three, so they missed it all. Does that help? Paper analog is always superior. So that's what I would highly recommend that you do. I want to review this from this morning, but we have a lot of new people here. This is how the tech people in Silicon Valley raise their children, some of them. Not all of them, but many of them. The chief technology officer of eBay sends his children to a 9-classroom school here. So do employees of Silicon Valley giants like Google, Apple, Yahoo, and Hewlett-Packard. But the school's chief teaching tools are anything but high-tech. Pens and paper, knitting needles, and occasionally mud. Not a computer to be found, no screens at all. They're not allowed in the classroom, and the school even frowns on their use at home. These are Waldorf Steiner schools. I've spoken at one, and they don't allow technology. They ask the parents not to have it at home. And the dirty little secret is these tech executives and the employees allow their children to pass through all those brain crucial stages of brain development without all that extra stimulation. Their children turn out to be very smart, and many of them go back into the tech industry and run the place because their brains have been left intact. Steve Jobs was a low-tech parent at a high-tech company. So your kids must love the iPad, I asked Mr. Jobs. They haven't used it. He would not allow his children to use the iPad for all the reasons I'm talking to you. That's what many of them do. Because these tech executives and employees love their children deeply. Not yours, theirs. But I'm at the helping you part where I'm giving you parenting advice from Silicon Valley. And God has called us out to be separate. So, just a couple more things. I love this quote from Dr. Howard Hendricks. Now, he's aggregated, obviously, a lot of scripture, but he says this: if you're not thinking correctly, you're not living correctly, what you believe will determine how you behave. So what I've done is over all the years that I've been speaking, as you can imagine, I get pushback from people. I have taken these phrases that people use to justify and refute me, and I have translated them using neuroscience with a biblical worldview. Okay? Does that make sense? So here's one of the things that people say to me all the time. Well, look, I'm not as bad as I used to be. The translation is, I don't snort as much cocaine as I used to. I only allow my child screen time on Saturday if he has been good. The translation, if my child behaves during the week, I will allow him 2 lines of cocaine on Saturday. Now, brothers and sisters, this is true. Cocaine is bad on Saturday just like it is on, say, Tuesday. You're not evil because it sounds reasonable to make your child do their chores, do their homework, and then reward them. I get that. And I'm not putting you down. Do you hear my heart here? But you have to think correctly. You're still giving them cocaine. Reward them with non-digital stuff. And they'll be fine. That's not a bad thing, what I just said. Reward them with non-digital. People get mad, though. At what? I deleted Facebook from my phone. I don't know why people confess sins to me. I am not Jesus. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's fine, but only Jesus can forgive you of sins. But I deleted Facebook from my phone, translation, but I kept Instagram, Snapchat, Tinder, and other stuff that's none of your business. Because I will ask people, can I see your phone? I grab kids' phones all the time and look at their playlists, and it's full of trash. I only allow my child to play education video games and use education apps. Translation, my child is a genius. He can snort cocaine and do his math at the same time. And that's what's happening. I limit my child's screen time. This is the most dangerous one. I limit my child's screen time. Translation, I limit the amount of cocaine and heroin that my child consumes. I give it to them, but I'm a good parent. I limit it. That's what you're doing. Sure, I stay up late gaming with my son, but it's our time to bond. Translation, I'm a cool dad. I stay up late doing lines with my 10-year-old. The average global age of a video gamer is 35. They've brought that into the marriage. They game with their children. They stay up late. And they're essentially pushing drugs. But look, you didn't think of it this way before. But from this point on, you need to be thinking correctly about this, because the Lord wants all of our hearts, all of us. He doesn't want our emotions and our affections being given anywhere but to Him and our families. Are you with me on that one? I'm giving you a biblical worldview with these things. These are all biblical worldview statements. I am from the old school. I'm still stuck in the Bible. And I think what puzzles people is that I have a computer science degree, so you can't fool me. I know all about it. And I still don't like it. I mean, what it does to you. I like some of the conveniences. I told you this morning, no one's ever come to me and asked me for prayer because they're addicted to Word. They can't quit typing. I use them. I'm using it now, but I can promise you no one has ever gotten addicted to any of my slides. In fact, they want to run from me most of the time. But has it not been helpful for me to show you brain scans? I'm not against it. When I do the teacher professional development here, I'm going to talk about how to use this in the classroom and how not to use it based on science. But I want to show you something. I want to help you with this, just to show you that I'm not just making up a bunch of stuff and making rules and bringing bondage and legalism. This is what happens when you listen to music while you're studying. This is a neuroscientist who specializes in what music does to the brain. His name is Daniel J. Levitin.
A lot of people ask me, what's the best genre of music I should listen to when I want to concentrate? And the answer is none. There are thousands of studies that show that if you're trying to concentrate and do some work, having music on in the background actually causes you to perform worse than if you didn't have music. The problem is that we find it more enjoyable with music, so we trick ourselves into thinking we're being more productive and efficient, but we're really not. What you can do, though, is take breaks, say every couple of hours, and listen to your favorite music for 10 or 15 minutes. Immerse yourself in that experience, and when you come back to your work, you'll be entirely refreshed. And there's no best genre, it's just whatever you happen to like.
So, I'm not making it up. So what I did, I quit listening to music when I studied, because I've done all this stuff. And I want to testify. You know when I started off by showing you how God put gas in my tank? When I detoxed, it was many years ago now, but something happened. I discovered that I had the gift of writing books. And I had no idea, because it was always there. The gifts of God are without repentance. And when the digital noise went away, all of a sudden, I could write. And people would read. You know what my regret is? Why didn't you detox when you were young? How much further ahead? Because of these books, I get to come and be with you. Otherwise, I would miss you over gaming and social media and all the other stuff I was doing. Am I making sense to you? All this stuff. So your children and your grandchildren have these gifts resident in them, and it's all being drowned out by digital noise. I'm hoping that this is appealing to you in some way to go through a detox. Grab that book, Digital Rehab. We're about out, but we'll ship them back here. Beth will take your order. I'm not just trying to sell you books. Do it by yourself without the book. It doesn't matter. Just do it. And let the Lord Jesus be the Lord and bring these gifts out in these children. We desperately need revival. And we need to pass the faith on to them. And it's all being drowned out by digital noise globally. The biblical worldview rates show that. Am I making sense to you? Why they live under our roofs? Because they're tethered outside of our Christian homes. All right, a couple more things and I'll be finished. I want to just give you another laundry list of things to do. No screen time before school. Otherwise, you suffer what is called post-stimulation attentional drift. Don't allow children or yourself before you go to work. No screen time before school. Save your brain reserve for something important like work and school. It is not against the law for you to ban smartphones for your children. Replace those smartphones with dumb phones. You're laughing, but I'm being very serious. Last year, 1.4 billion smartphones were sold But 1 billion dumb phones were sold. There's been a rebellion against those things. What about filtering and accountability software? If filtering and accountability software were the solution, there would be no need for me to be here. Doesn't work. Never has. No video games ever. Replace those video games with board and card games, and don't sell your video games, otherwise you're a drug pusher. Replace all electronic babysitters with humans right now. Get out in nature a lot. Do you realize how blessed you are to live in Hawaii? Well, get out there. God put you here for a reason. Take advantage of it. Exercise a lot. So, last thing I want to talk about, of course, comes from the scripture. There's a concept in the Bible. Well, first of all, the reason why I'm going to bring this up in closing is because these things are hard. Actually, I want to do two things. I want to show you this. I have a sleep monitor. My sleep was terrible. And it's on my watch. I have a Garmin watch. I work out like a freight train. I do gymnastics and calisthenics for my workout. Some of you might do CrossFit and stuff like that, but that's what I do. The superhuman stuff with the muscle ups and all that. My sleep improved like crazy when I got all the technology out of the bedroom, started going to bed early and started exercising. Our brainstem right back here is what controls our sleep, and it sends out a pulse about every 90 minutes, and we cycle in and out of light sleep and deep sleep. REM, rapid eye movement. And it's during these phases of sleep where the good stuff happens. The stuff that gets learned during the day gets transferred, and how you study without the music, without jumping around, is extremely important on how that gets transferred, either in a schema or scattered. If you study in a monotasking way, it transfers properly. If you don't, I'm going to talk to the students about this at length. But if you total up that dark blue, the deep phases of sleep, and you sleep the proper amount for your age, kids need 9.25 hours of sleep. If they're younger than teenagers on up need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And I got 8 hours of sleep. This were 7 hours, 54 minutes. I cycled properly. If you total up those blue, and if it equals 40% or more of the night's sleep, your brain has reset. It has returned to homeostasis. The chemicals have come right. And you ever had a good night's sleep? I mean, it's rare, but have you ever had one? Don't you feel so good? I've been sleeping like this outside of jet lag for years now. And it is so good. And just to show you what happens, a teacher came to me all excited and said, I tested you, which at first I thought was rude. But he was very excited. He looked down at me because I'm short, and he said, I tested you. And I went, oh, do tell. So he said, it was an Apple-based school, so everybody had iPads. He had the teacher version. Make a long story short, he was grading assignments on the iPad up till 10 o'clock, and he said, look, this is my sleep monitor. It took me 2.5 hours before I got into deep sleep. So I took your advice, and this is what I told him. I said, tomorrow night, read a book on paper an hour before bed. Put the screens away. Get rid of them and read something on paper just an hour before bed. And he came back all excited, and he said, look, I did what you said, and it took me 10 minutes. I was in deep sleep. Because he didn't have all those chemicals in his brain from the screen. Doesn't matter about the content. He was grading assignments. He wasn't doing anything bad. He was grading homework assignments on a screen. But it didn't matter. The content doesn't matter. Does that help you? So go analog before bed. And then finally, and I'll hang out for a little while afterwards if you want to talk at the table. I want to talk to you about this concept of gumenousia. This whole thing that I'm asking you to do, or God, I think, is asking you to do, or I'm bringing it up, and I'm asking you too, because I'm related to you. I'm your family. I'm the good side of the family, by the way. When the scripture tells us in Thessalonians to train ourselves for godliness, the Greek word is gumenousia. That's how you pronounce it in the Greek, gumenousia, and it's where we get our word gymnastics from. Gymnastics is very difficult. And you have to train for years to develop the strength to do the Iron Cross and the different things like that. But that is the exact word that God tells us to use when we train ourselves for godliness by resisting worldliness, by doing the right thing. training the children in godliness and not allowing them to participate in the cultural things like cocoa and the death culture and being very careful not to do the Star Wars. These things are hard. The New Testament, of course, is originally written in Greek. The word rendered discipline is gymnasia. It's where we get our word gymnastics and gymnasium from. Not just where you go in January and then quit. It's when you do it all the time as a lifestyle. And that's how we're to read the Bible. That's the whole point here. That level of dedication and discipline. So the word means to exercise or discipline, which is why the King James Version renders 1 Timothy 4:7 as exercise thyself unto godliness. It's gymnasia yourself unto godliness. That's the Bible reading. That's the discipline. That's why Beth and I go to bed when we're under our own control, no later than 8 o'clock, and we're up at 3. And we're having, well, the first thing I do is get a cup of coffee. I'm not that spiritual. And I wipe my eyes, and then we're in the scriptures like you are, early, and read a book along with it. And we have our prayer time. Then we go to the gym for a couple hours, and we're eating breakfast by the time most people are just getting up. So gymnasia is a sweaty word with the smell of the gym to it. And you can think of the spiritual disciplines as those exercises that you do consistently. And basically what they are not is legalism. We're not talking about legalism. So I just want to, this church, it's in Manila. And it's, some of you may have heard of CCF. There's a lot of Filipinos here, obviously. I've preached there and work with them quite a bit. Last week I did a video thing with them, and it's about 25,000 people. And I got close with the leadership there, and we were working out together. And they said, you really need to tell your story. And I didn't want to show people pictures of me when I was fat. But I'm going to do it anyway. But this is me. And my health was terrible. That's a result of screen addiction. My blood work was horrible. I was in very bad shape. And to make a long story short, I had to go on a long gymnasia journey to restore my health. And I did. Part of this journey, I was going over to the University of Virginia in their exercise physiology core lab, Beth and I were, and they ended up, because of my age, I'm 72, I'm 58. They ended up using our bodies for research. Now, I only show you that, and that's Beth, and they were designing some medical equipment, and they used us. I mean, that was gymnasia, but I've also had the same spiritual transformation as a minister by getting away from that digital stuff, and I've started to write books. The question is, what does he have for you? Because he does. What's it going to, forget me, what's it going to unlock for you? What call? There is one on all of us. I'm so hungry to see God move across our land again. Are you? And God is, there's many issues that we have to deal with. I happen to have a pretty big one, the digital side, but there's many other issues that need to be dealt with. But it's going to be hard. It's going to take a level of, we're disciples. We're supposed to be disciplined people, gymnasia people. And so I train like a freight train, but I've also applied that to my spiritual life. And it's not because I'm a saint. It's quite the opposite. I can be very carnal. I need that discipline that God commands us to have because, well, I'm a hillbilly and all that comes with that. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I love his people. I do. I love you. And I know what God wants to do. He wants to restore his church to the vibrancy that we see overseas where the miracles are happening. The gas is being put in the tank. This movement in the shores of California when Pastor Chuck first started seeing the Spirit being poured out on the beaches. Wouldn't you love to see that here in Honolulu, Waikiki, all throughout these islands? Do you believe God will do it? Are you willing to do whatever it takes, including removing the hindrances? I appreciate you listening to me. I've said some hard things, but it's not because I'm mad at you or God's mad at you. It's because God loves your children, and He loves you, no matter what sin you've committed. So I'm going to present this one more time, and I'm going to pray for you. This is what repentance looks like. We're walking in a direction contrary to God, and God shows up through your pastor, through the radio station here, maybe even me, and He says, stop. Put that down and walk toward me. And God's over here waiting, not with a hammer, but His arms are wide open. Regardless of your failures as a parent, everybody's failed with this thing. Nobody's perfect at this. And He's saying, just put it down and walk toward me and fall into my arms. And He said, I've got a big reset button over here called grace. Just tap it, fall into my arms. And if you'll do that and leave that stuff alone, from this point on, I will treat you as though you never did that stuff, and all of that was made possible by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my son, Jesus. There's healing in His wings, and there's forgiveness for porn addiction, video game addiction, social media addiction, LGBTQ, whatever you've fallen into, Jesus is saying, forsake it, fall into my arms, and I will take you to places that will blow your mind. Is that a good way to end? All right, let's stand and let's pray. Would you just close your eyes, and if you don't mind, symbolically, let's just lift our hands in a surrender mode. When we lift our hands, that's what we're symbolically saying, Lord, I give up. I surrender. I don't have the power to do this. I don't have the strength to do this, but I give up and I yield to Your power and Your grace. And this is my final prayer over you. The grace of God is, of course, God not giving us what we deserve and unmerited favor and but there's a second part of that definition. The grace of God is also the power of God to do what He's asking you to do. And it only comes from Him. So I'm going to ask God to grace you with His power to take these things to heart. Father, thank You for my family here. Again, as I always pray, please do not allow anyone to come under condemnation. Don't let any parent come under a spirit of fear that they have done irreparable damage. No false guilt, none of that. Give Your grace and Your power to hit that reset button tonight, but actually look forward to it and rejoice at the refreshing that You want to bring. That the gifts that are resident in all of us that You've put in us from before the time we were born, because You knew us before we were even in the womb, these things are going to come out and we're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, with our hands lifted high in a surrendering mode, I pray these blessings over my family here. No condemnation, no guilt, but an anticipation of what You're going to do. No matter how hard this journey is, I pray for Your grace and Your mercy and the gas to be put in tanks here tonight. Let forgiveness, the realization that forgiveness has been granted and they're free now despite all the failures. And Lord, send revival across our land. Revive us, God. Revive the adults first and then help us to pass this mantle on to the younger generations. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And God's people said, God bless you guys. Love you.